Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Katshalom. We're now on Masechet Bav Metzia, Daf Tetvav Amud Bet, about a third of the way down the Amud, continuing on with the issue of someone who purchases land from a Gazlan, and then the land is seized, what his recovery is. We raise it up a notch. Hikirba she'ena shelo ulekacha. Let's say that the Lokeach recognized that the land really did not belong to the seller, and he bought it anyways. Marav ma'ot yesh lo shavach ein lo. So then when the land is seized, he does have recovery of the purchase price from the seller. Of course, he does not have recovery for the shavach that he put into it, knowing full well that it was not the not his land at any point. Shmuel amar filu ma'ot ein lo. Shmuel says he doesn't even have recovery of the ma'ot. Now, ma'ot mipalgi, what's the machloket about? Rav savar adam yodei shkarka ein lo. Rav says the fellow knows that he doesn't have land. When he paid the purchase price, he was really giving it as a pikadon to the seller. And so now he's claiming his pikadon back. So why didn't he just go up to the seller and say, I want to give you $100,000 as a pikadon? Savar lo makabel. He thought, the guy won't take my $100,000, so I'll go along with his fictitious sale of the land. That way he'll hold my money, and then I'll be able to get it back. Shmuel Savar Adam Yodei Shkarka Ein Lo, he says, start with the same premise. The fellow knows that he has no rights to this land. Gemara Tan L'Shumatana, when he gave the $100,000, he was giving it really as a gift to the Gazlan. V'Nemalei L'Shumatana, why doesn't he just say, I'm giving you a gift? The answer is, K'sifalei Milta. He knew that the guy would be embarrassed to take a gift, so he went along with the fictitious sale of the land to give him a gift. Now, but this machloket, Rav and Shmuel, we already had in Kiddushin, if a man gives Kiddushin to his sister, which we all know doesn't work. Rav says the money comes back to the Mekadesh when they all have a good laugh about it and realize that it's no good. Shmuel Marmot Matona, he says, no, the money stays with the sister. Rav Marmot Chozrin, why does Rav say the money comes back? Hadam Yodesh and Kiddushin Tovsin Machoto. Everybody knows the Kiddushin are invalid with the sister. V'gamaron Tam L'Shubikaron. He was really asking her to hold money for him. V'nemalei L'Shubikaron. Why didn't he? V'nemalei L'Shubikaron. Why didn't he just say to his sister, "Please hold some money for me"? Savor Lama Kablam Yeh. She won't accept Bikaron from me. So I'll use this ignorance of hers that she thinks Kiddushin might work to have her hold on to the money. Shmuel Amar Mot Matana. Again, just as we had, Shmuel says, man knows the Kiddushin are no good, and he wants to give her Matana. Again, she'll be embarrassed to accept the Matana, so he finds that he disguises the Matana as this fake Kiddushin. So why do we need this pair, this double machloket? The answer is Tzricha. Deet Marbaha, if we only had our case, we would say, Bahakama Rav. Rav says that it's a pikadon to love the inshid yavi matana l'nuchra, because a person doesn't generally give gifts to some outsider. So therefore, in the case of the sale of the land, we'd say that's where Rav says that it's a pikadon. Aval gabe achoto, in the case of his sister, emimoto l'shmuel. Perhaps he agrees with Shmuel that in the case of the sister, we should assume that it's a matana. Because all of this is just our guesstimation about what the fellow's intent was. And then we flip it. If we had the case of Kiddushin, we'd say Bahach Kamar Shmuel. Shmuel says there that it's a Matana because it's his sister. But in our case, we would assume that we would think that perhaps he agrees with Rav that an outsider, we should assume it to be a Pikadon. Sricha, therefore we need both cases. Now, Bein the Rav Damar Pikadon, Bein the Shmuel Damar Matana, but we have a general problem here. Remember, a fellow sold land that he knew and the buyer knew there was no real sale going on. And the buyer was either giving a matan or a pikadon, but hayla arab maikan achid. How does the buyer take, as it were, go and take the land? Perot hechiachel. How does he eat the perot? In other words, the Gazlan sold him land. The sale was no good. Everybody knew the sale was no good. The lokeach then takes possession of the land, starts eating the perot, and then it gets seized. So with what does the lokeach take the land? So savra ana echut lara. He figures, I'll go to the land, v'avid ve'echul begave, and I'll eat on the land, ki hechad ahave ka'avidihu, just like the Gazlan was. That is, I'm just buying his rights and land. L'chi'ati mare da'ara, when the owner comes, zuzoi nehavu, I'll still have some money. L'rav damar pikaron, pikaron l'shmo damar matana. In other words, according to Rav, who says that the purchase price was a pikaron, so that's what I'll have. I'll have to return it. According to Shmuel, says a matana, so it's a matana. So, so in other words, he's just taking the place of the Gazlan here. Amarava Hilchata. So Rava now sums up all the sugyot we've been dealing with lately. First of all, Yesh lo Malt v'Yesh lo Shavach. In the case of the Lokeach, does not know. The earlier case we dealt with, the Lokeach does not know that it's a stolen piece of land. And he is, and it's now seized from him. He can go back for both for Mot and for Shavach, like Rav. Even though he did not write, I will indemnify you when the Gazlan sold land. I will indemnify you for the Shavach. Even so, Lokeach has rights to collect what he how he appreciated the land besides the principal. Hikir Bashan Shalom, the case we just dealt with. Again, like Rav, he does have recovery of the price. We assume it's a pigaron. And the last one is Achrayuto Tzofer, who, against Shmuel, we said that whenever Achrayut is left out of a shtar, we assume it to be in there, Bein Meshitre Halva, Bein Meshitre Mekach HaMemkar. Whether in a shtar Halva, which is Shmuel's explanation of the Rabbanan's position in our Mishnah, but also in the case of shtar Mekach, Achrayut is a taut sofer, meaning we should assume that that it should be in there, and the omission is just a mistake. Unlike Shmuel, who directed his sofer to check with the seller if he wanted to put Achrayut in. Okay, Ba'amine Shmuel Mirav. So Shmuel then asked Rav the following question. Based on what Rav just ruled, Chazar v'lakchami ba'alim arishonim mahu. What happens if the Gazlan sold land to somebody else, and then the Gazlan went back and properly bought it from the original owner? Then, does the Lokeach keep it, or now does the Gazlan have the rights to go seize it from the Lokeach as the proper owner, which of course would be very strange. Imagine this. A fellow sells land. A sells land to B. A then goes back and properly buys it from C, from whom he stole it. And now as the proper owner, he comes and seizes it back from B, who he sold it to. So Marle, Mamachar L'Rishon L'Sheni, Kos Chuch Tavol L'Yadua. Rav says, the Lokeach keeps it. Why? Because what is it that the Gazlan bought from the proper owner? All the rights, including the rights to have sold it. And when he originally sold it, then the Lokeach gets to keep it. So now he's just buffering up that right by properly taking possession. So in my time, what's the reason for this? The Gazlan doesn't want to be called a Gazlan. In other words, we're assuming the reason that he's going back and properly buying the land is because he knows he did something wrong. He knows he's going to be called a Gazlan. He doesn't want to be called a Gazlan, so he goes to make it right by then, retroactively, as it were, clearing it up by buying the land from the Nigzal. Ravashi Amar, Nechale Deleiku Behemnute. He has a slightly different reason, which is that the Gazlan, this seller, wants to be somebody that people trust. And therefore, when he sold the land to the Lokeach, he wants the Lokeach not to have any claims against him and to be able to keep the land properly. So the Gazlan is going back to the original owner to buy the land properly so that the Lokeach will have a proper hold on it and nobody will have claims on him. Now, my binayu, what kind of case could you have where Ravashi's reason and Marzucha's reason would play out differently? And as we would say, in that case, the Lokeach does keep it or doesn't keep it, depending on which reason you have. So the first attempt is as follows. Ike benayu demit lokeach. If the lokeach died, and we go as follows. Man damar nechaled olikrei gazlana. According to Rav Zutru said that the gazlan's reason for buying it is he doesn't want to be called a gazlan hamitle. After all, the lokeach's dead, so who's going to call him a gazlan? Man damar nechaled olikrei memnute. But if he wants to demonstrate to the public that his word is good, he also wants the sons of the Gazlan to think of him as a trustworthy guy, and therefore he will protect the land even if the Lokeach's gone. But that doesn't work. Doesn't matter. The sons of the owner of the buyer, who are now going to have it seized if he doesn't clear things up, we'll still call him a Gazlan. So either way, both reasons apply. Ela Ika b'nayu demit Gazlan. Must be talking about a case where the Gazlan himself dies. Then what do we do with it? In other words, the Goslin sold land, then he bought it back from the, they bought it properly from the original owner, and then he died. According to Rami Zutta's reason, Hamitle, what does he care? He's dead. But if he wants his word to be good, we're assuming here that even though he's dead, he wants his good name to go on. Sof karle bane b'nei gazlana. But it doesn't matter, because they're going to call his kids the sons of a Goslin. So he's still, the name Goslin is still going to stick to him. So both reasons equally apply. Meaning that either reason you would follow, we would still say that he'd want the land to stay with the lokeach. The difference will be if he originally did not sell it to the lokeach, but rather gave it to him as a gift. According to Rav Ashi, who says his interest is in trying to maintain his proper name, he also wants that to be in the case of a gift. He gave a gift, and then he doesn't want the people to say, oh, you gave a gift, and then he takes it back. Because he gave a gift of a gzela. Then he goes and buys the gzela. Now, as the proper owner of the land, he comes back and seizes it from the gift that was inappropriately given, that wrecks his name. But if he's just worried about not being called a Goslin, he'll turn around and say, I didn't steal anything from you. After all, I gave you a gift, and then the system turned around and took it back from you, but you didn't lose anything. So there would really be a difference where, according to Rav Ashi, he would still want the land to stay with him, but according to Marizutra, he wouldn't care. Okay, Pshita. Now we add the following. Zavna, Orta, V'yahava Matana. Let's say that after the Goslin sold the land to the Lokeach, we're still trying to figure out what happens when he subsequently makes good on it. Let's say that he sold it to the Lokeach, and then he sold it to another guy too, or he bequeathed it, or he gave it as a gift to another person. So he's demonstrating that he really has no interest in making good on the original sale. Lav luk mikam lokeach kaboy, clearly not. So therefore, if he goes back and buys it from the nigzal, he can then seize it from lokeach, and lokeach doesn't have a claim, because clearly this guy is not interested in preserving his good name, and he does have the legal right to seize it back. Nafalei b'yerusha, let's say that the Goslin never bought it back from the Nigzal, but somehow it ended up coming to him as a Yerusha. So Yerusha Mamela, he didn't work at all for that, didn't demonstrate he's trying to keep his good name. Vaviu Katar Chabatra, he didn't work for it. So therefore, that doesn't give us any indication he's trying to keep his name clear. And therefore, again, he would seize it from Lokeach. Gabi Ihu Bechovo, let's say that the Goslin then had the rights to seize that land from the original Nigzal for a chov. Turned out the Nigzal also owed him money. The Nigzal's animal damaged his property, and he had rights to collect from him. Chazina. So let me take a look. If the Nigzal has lots of land, his other land, and he specifically asked for that land, because that's land that he had stolen and sold to somebody else. Marhai Baina. Then we assume the reason is because he wants his lokeach to be able to keep the land. So he, now that he has rights to collect some land from the Nigzal, and the Nigzal has lots of different land, and he goes after that one, clearly he's trying to keep his word, as it were. V'ilo, but if that's not the case, if the Nigzal only has that plot of land, Zuzi Dubayefro, he's just trying to pay back money, he's just trying to collect money, and therefore we have no indication that he's trying to preserve his good name. Yavan Yaleb Matana. Let's say that somebody gave him the Nigzal, ended up giving him the property of Matona. We have the following kind of strange situation. A guy steals land from another fellow. He then sells it. And then subsequently, the Nigzal gives it to the Goslin as a gift. So then, what's the status? Does the Goslin now have the right to go and collect it back from the guy he sold it to? Because now he's the proper owner, or not? Pligi Rav Achav Ravinas, the following machloket. Chadamar, one of the two of them, said, Matana ki Yerusha. Matana, you didn't work for Matana. Therefore, just like Yerusha, it happened by itself. And therefore, it doesn't demonstrate in any way that you're trying to hold onto this land legally. And therefore, now that you're the owner, you can go and seize it from Lokeach. Chadamar, Matana ki Machri. He says, no, it's like a sale. Why? Dilav de Tarach va'artzi kameh. If it had not been the fact that you worked and tried to appease the nigzal to give you the land, lo havi yoiv le matana. He wouldn't have given you the matana. Chitarach v'artzi kameh. Why did you work so hard to appease him, make him happy? So he'd give you a gift, so that you should be able to maintain your good name by having this land that you sold stay with the lokeach. Alright, parenthetically, until what point do we say he's interested in keeping his good name? Meaning, you can only be interested in keeping your good name until your good name is lost. At that point, that's not what your interest is because it's too late. So we have three different shurim. Amar Rav Huna, Ad Shat Hamar Abedin. Until they actually come to Din, at that point, everybody publicizes the fact that you're a Goslin, you can't save your good name. Chibar Rav Amar Adamata Adrachta Liadeh. Until he gets the Adrachta, which is the rights to seize the land. Papa Amar Adam Mitchalan Yomei Achrazta. This is afterwards, when they publicly are machriz that this land is going to be seized, then it's the 90-day process that we learned about in Bava Kamma, about seizure of land. Okay, Matkev Rambam Bar Chama. Rambam Bar Chama challenges this entire ruling that we had of Rav, which says that the lokeach can seize back his money, which we said was the halacha, by the way. Rav said it was the halacha. Rambam Bar Chama challenges him, where Rav said that if a lokeach knew in advance that the property was stolen and he paid for it, he could still recover his money. How did the lokeach get the property? Bahishtara. He got it with a star. The star is a piece, is worthless, is worth nothing. So the lokeach has no rights to the property. So how could he possibly get the property back, get his money back? Amar le Rava, so Rava, whose position was that Allah is Karav, said, gave the following explanation. Tehei b'mamino, must be a case where the lokeach is mamin, gives trust to the Goslin when he bought the land, and he says, I know you're going to make good on this. And therefore, the ba'ahu hana, the lo kamar lemidi, with the hana that the lokeach didn't challenge him at all, and didn't mistrust him, with that hana, the lokeach now is working to try, the Goslin is now working to try to make good on the land, gamar maknile. And therefore, with that hana, he's makna the land to him. So there's something besides the star that's working here. So meitu Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha challenges Rava here. Mash irashmi abba machur lacha, mash talem sudati machur lacha. If a fellow says, whatever I inherit from father, I'm now selling to you, one of those futures, whatever my fish nets or my traps come up with, I'm selling to you, lomar klum, that's nothing. Mash irashmi abba hayom machur lacha, mash talem sudati hayom machur lacha. But if he says, what father bequeaths to me today, as he's assuming father's going to die today, or whatever my traps yield today, I'm selling to you the Vav Kayamin, that works. Rambam Bar Chama turned to Rav and said, see, Rav Sheshen, here's Rav Sheshen, the man, and here's his challenge. See, I'm right. You can't sell futures. So therefore, Mamino, the fact that he says, I trust you, that you're going to make good on this, isn't a vehicle for Kenyan. So I'm Rav, Gavra Kachazina Tiyuvta Lo Kachazina. Rav says, wittily back, you said, here's the man, here's the tiyufta. I see the man, that's Rav Sheshet. I don't see a tiyufta. I don't see a challenge here. Hacha samchadate, v'hachala samchadate. In our case of lokeach, he's relying on him because he's selling land. And therefore, he's relying, he sees the land, he's transferring the money, or he's getting the shtar, and that's what he's relying on. Here, in the case where the guy says, whatever I inherit from father is yours, the recipient isn't relying on anything. The guy's father is doing fine. The traps are empty. So hachasam chadate de azil tar chamaitile. Here in our case, he's relying on him that the guy who's selling him land is going to go make sure it's good. Kiecher lo nikrei gazlana, because he knows this guy doesn't want to be called a gazlan. Hachalosam chadate, in the case of the traps or the inheritance, he doesn't have any reason to think the guy's really going to make good on it. So shalchu alakami to Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda. They asked Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda about this dispute to Rabbi Mar Chama and Rava, who's right. And it was this Rav Sheshet's challenge, a challenge. Amar Lahu, Zu'enet Tzricha Lifneim. Said, this needs no further investigation. Rav Sheshet's challenge is a good challenge. Ram Barcham is right. Okay. Amar Rava, Zu Tzricha Lifneim Lifneifneim. Rava rejected that statement too. He says, this needs a lot of investigation. Meaning, it's not such a simple, attack. As a matter of fact, it's an attack that's simply rebuffed. Hacha Samchadate, Date, Vahacha Lo Samchadate. Same answer he gave. And there was a case that actually happened, Pumbadita, where a guy stole land, etc. And they brought the case again. Amar Lehu of Yosef, Zuinat Tzricha Lifneim. In other words, they gave the same challenge. Rav Yosef said, simple challenge. And therefore, there really is no way that Kenyan works. So really, we shouldn't rule like Rav. And what did Abaye do? Turned to Rav Yosef. He said, just like Rav said, it does need investigation. The challenge is not so good. Again, in the case of the inheritance, there's no reason for smichut dat. The fellow's not close to dead. But in our case, he's making good. He's selling property. He knows the guy's going to try to make good to make sure his reputation is good, and therefore he's relying on it. Now, parenthetically, within the case that Rav Sheshet brought, Maishna Resha, Maishna Seifa, how come in the case where he says, whatever I inherit, it doesn't work, but when he says, what I inherit today, it does work? So, Rabbi Yochanan Seifa, Mashiresh Me'am Bahayom, Mishum Kfor Aviv. There, what he's trying to do is, father's dying today, and he needs money today to be able to properly bury his father. So, therefore, Chachamim Mitakein, in this case, that the sale should work. When he says, whatever my traps yield today, because he has to live. So Chum said, because of that, we allow it to work. Okay, Amar Vuna Marav. A fellow says, I'm about to buy a field. I'm selling it to you now in advance, and when I buy it, it will be yours as of now. Kana, Rav says that works. Amarav Mistabra Milted Rav Sadestam. Rava says that would only seem to work if you said a field. But if you said a particular field, lo. Why? Who says that the owner is going to sell it to him? Which means that he doesn't have access to this to sell it and to then sell it in advance from now. V'hai Elohim, but indeed, Amarava filu sadezu. Rav actually would have applied it when you were pointing to a particular field. How do we know that? Mechti Rav Kaman Amar L'Shmate. After all, who is Rav following in this entire halacha? Rav Meir. He's following Rav Meir. Adam Makan Dovah Shalabala Olam. A person can sell something that doesn't yet exist. You know, fruit of a tree. Hasn't borne fruit yet. The Tanya, and what's the source for a mayor? The source that a mayor says that. All of these are situations where Kiddushin can't happen now, but happen afterwards, and the fellow gives a Kiddushin now and says, you're Mekudeshet to me after the things kick in. She's married after her husband dies, she's not Jewish after she converts, whatever it may be. Remember Kodesh, Rameir says it works. Why? Because Rameir says you can be Makandova Shalabalola. Vaisha Kasadezu Dami, when you're talking to a particular woman, it's like a particular field. You're not saying in general, you're saying that particular one, when it becomes available to me. I'm making the Kenyan on it now for when it becomes available to me. So therefore, Rav, who's adopting Rameir's position here, has to say it's true, even if you point to a particular field. Okay, Amar Shmuel, we saw this halacha earlier. Hamotzei shtar hakna b'shuk. Found a shtar hakna. Remember, a shtar hakna is a shtar where the possible lova puts his property into lien to the malva, whether or not the halva happens now. That may be a way of getting himself more credit with the malve. Yachzirola Baalim. Shmuel says you have to return it to the malve. The imishum lekatav levot v'lova. If you're concerned that maybe, as we had at the beginning of our sugya, there was an intention of borrowing money, but it never happened. Hashibenafshe, it doesn't matter. He already obligated himself. Imishu piron. If you think maybe it's already been paid. Lo chashin on the piron. We're not concerned about piron. Why? Timi'ita depari mikra havekarale. If he had already paid, the lova would have made sure that the star would have been torn up so they wouldn't be collected against twice. Rav Nachman Abba means safri dayana demar Shmuel have. Rav Nachman says, my father was one of the sofrim of Shmuel. Vavina kavarshita kvarsheva. I was 6 or 7. I remember this as a kid. Vadacharna dav machrizi v'amri. I remember they used to announce, Hani Shatri Aknaata de Mishtaki Shuka, if you ever find a star on the Shuk, Nadrina the Marayu, give it back to the guy whose name is on it, meaning the Malva. So that's support that Shmuel really said this. And Amram Afana Namitanina, we also have a bright that says, Komase Beitin Ere Zeyachzir. Anything that Beitin signed on it, you return it to the proper owner. Alma Lochashin Lepiron. Why is that? Because we're not concerned that the debt on that star has already been paid. So Amrali Rabbi Zerah said, which a second, Nitin Mishtira Shitre Chalta Atava Drachta. Zerah says,
That Mishnah that says Masa Beitin is talking about a Shtar Drachta. A Shtar Drachta is a Shtar of seizure, or Chalta is beginning the process of seizure of land that's supposed to be seized. The Lav Bnei Piron, no, that's not a Shtar that Piron is associated with, like a Shtar Chov or a Shtar Mekach, really a Shtar Chov. It's a Shtar that's a Beitin generated Shtar that says, now we're going to go seize this property, or we're going to announce the seizure of this property, whatever it may be, because of a debt. So Amar Rava, which means Rav Amram's proof is not a proof for Shmuel. Amar Rava, Hani Lav Bnei Piron, Ninu, is that not true? Amri Nahardei, you know what they say in Nahardei? Shum Ahadar Atresa Yarkishata. If Beitin makes an appraisal, it can be reversed for the course of the next 12 months, which means that the Shtar Drachta could be challenged. V'yamar Memer, Anam Nahardei Ana. Memer says, I'm from Nahardei, I was sphere, meaning from the Nahardeans. Spherely to Shum Ahadar Le'olam, I think it could be reversed at any point. Al Amar Rava, Rava explained that it follows. Hatam Hainu Taima, Da Amri Iu, Da Afsira Nafshe. You know why we return it? Return it because he lost it, meaning he blew it, the Lova blew it. That when it was paid, meaning the Shtar Mekach, or the Shtar Drachta, was there. Certainly something that could be challenged, certainly could be considered to be paid. But when it's paid, the fellow from whom it was seized should have ripped it up. Inami lemichtav shtar achrina lavoyo, to write another shtar on it. The medina ara lo bayim lemehada, really the land should not go back. Mishum v'asita yashar v'atov v'nei Adonai hu damar rabbanon te'ado. The rabbanon said it should go back so that we are doing the absolute proper thing. Hilkach mireish avi because hu because avi. Therefore, it should have been it should be recognized as being sold originally. Iboyle lemichtav shtar zvinei. So they should have written a shtar zvinei. So therefore, he should have torn it up. The fact he didn't tear it up, he blew it, and now it could be collected again. Gabi shtar chov, my equal member. But how come if you find a shtar chov, we say that that we don't collect again? Im ita the pari ibar le mikre le shtare. Again, he should have torn up the shtar chov if he had paid it off. So amor, maybe not. In other words, what we're doing is we're challenging Shmuel's ruling by saying that the proofs for Shmuel's ruling really aren't proofs, because in those cases, really, we understand why it's collected, because the guy should have torn it up. Why not in the case of a shtar chov? Amor ishtamute kam ishtamit le. Maybe they didn't have access to it. Damar le lemachar yahavnalach. The malva said, I'll give you the shtar tomorrow. Tahashta le tegabai. I don't have the shtar with me today. And then he lost the shtar. So perhaps he paid it off, because after all, who's holding the shtar? The malva's holding the shtar. The lova pays him back, and the malva says, I'll give you the shtar tomorrow. Inam yafshita disafri zayrle. Or perhaps they're still debating payment for the the sofer who wrote the shtar, or perhaps the sofer never got paid, and the sofer is saying, I'm not going to let you tear it up until you pay me for it. So maybe that's why the shtar wasn't written up. Maybe that's why we found it. Maybe we do have to be choshish to Piron, unlike the dina of Kol Maaseh Beitin Harizei Yachzir, which is talking about either a shtar adrachta, or it could even be talking about a shtar mekach. Okay, we'll hold it off at this point and pick up in Amar Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Yochanan Daf Tzayin Amud Bet, and in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.